You're listening to All Things Cage at Wavefarm's WGXC 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears. I'm your host, Laura Kuhn, director of the John Cage Trust, and tonight's program is devoted to the subject of John Cage and the Beatles. It comes as a surprise to many that John Cage interacted variously with the Beatles, both with them as individual musicians and with their music. In the mid-1960s, he worked hard to procure a manuscript or two from them for his notations collection, a project he initiated to benefit the Foundation for Contemporary Performance Arts, which he had formed earlier in 1963 with his friend Jasper Johns. Cage solicited 20th century manuscripts from composers the world over that might form a saleable collection, including the Beatles. Appeals were made to both McCartney and to Lennon, and in the end, it was Yoko Ono who was responsive, and materials were finally obtained. Lyric sheets from 7 songs, The Word, Eleanor Rigby, I'm Only Sleeping, Yellow Submarine, Good Day Sunshine, and Your Bird Can Sing, showing the working title You Don't Get Me, and For No One, with the working title Why Did It Die, with some lyrics not heard on the recorded version. All songs are from the Revolver album released in 1966, except for The Word, which is from Rubber Soul, released in 1965. Cage had first met Yoko Ono when she was still married to her second husband, Toshi Ishinagi, who she often accompanied to Cage's classes at the New School in the 1950s. When Cage's work was finally finished, his notations collection turned out to be substantial and far-reaching, reflecting a remarkably diverse array of practices in what were then contemporary notations. The John Cage Notations Project Collection is held at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. It's a major research collection containing correspondence, the Notations Project scores, and ephemeral materials. Additionally, the collection contains a handful of Cage's own music manuscripts, including Music of Changes from 1951, his first work fully composed utilizing I Ching-derived chance operations. Not coincidentally, Northwestern is also home to Cage's large correspondence collection, and Northwestern now offers a stipend upon adjudicated application for research within its substantial Cage holdings. The Notations Project Collection at Northwestern contains 463 works and related correspondence gathered by Cage throughout the later years of the 1960s. You can also find many examples of the letters Cage wrote throughout the acquisition process in the Selected Letters of John Cage, edited by me and published by Wesleyan University Press in 2016. Working with Alison Knowles, Cage communicated with hundreds of composers, artists, and writers to solicit manuscripts, and in the end, 269 were included in a book entitled Notations, compiled and edited by Cage and Knowles, and published in 1969 by Something Else Press. Highlights of the collection, in addition to the Beatles' materials, include Pierre Boulez's Second Piano Sonata, Morton Feldman's The King of Denmark, Steve Reich's Piano Phase, and Cage's own Music of Changes. This book is long out of print, but occasionally you can find used copies for sale in secondary book markets. Of course, as many know, John Cage and Merce Cunningham were for a brief time neighbors to John Lennon and Yoko Ono. The Cage-Cunningham Bank Street home in New York City's West Village, which was situated at number 107, was from 1971 to 1973 adjacent to that of Lennon and Ono, who lived at number 105. Rumor has it that Lennon and Ono would frequently use the Cage-Cunningham phone for calls in order to avoid FBI wiretapping. And Cage himself often recounted a fun story wherein he and Lennon ate the entire dessert, a creme brulee, Cage had been preparing for a dinner party. It was still in the pot on the stovetop prior to dinner being served, simply because Lennon and Ono had to run. And of course, Merce Cunningham's dance company and foundation occupied the Westbeth complex at 155 Bethune Street on the north side of Bank Street, a complex that from 1970 housed the Westbeth artists community. As an aside, in case anyone is curious, Cunningham's first dance studio was located on the top floor of 69 West 14th Street from December 1959 to 1966. He later moved the studio to 498 3rd Avenue, then to its last home at Westbeth in 1971. The Merce Cunningham Dance Company was housed in the former Penthouse Auditorium until it was disbanded in 2010, a year after Cunningham's death. Somewhat ironically, that space is now, since 2012's Cage's centennial year, home to the Martha Graham Dance Company. And while the two couples were living on Bank Street, Cage added his voice to the ongoing deportation battle Ono and Lennon were embroiled in while seeking legal residency status in the United States. In his letter to Mr. Leon Wilde, dated March 1, 1972, Cage described Yoko Ono as, quote, an artist whose presence in New York and USA is of great cultural importance. I say this as a composer and a member of the National Institute of Arts and Letters. In preparing tonight's program, I was astonished to learn that Bank Street itself runs for only a total of 2,379 feet, and that many of its inhabitants over the years have been well known. Grace Jones, number 166, the HB Acting Studio, named for the Broadway actor and director Herbert Berghoff, who established the studio with his colleague Uta Hagen, number 120, Pearl Bailey, number 109, Lauren, then Betty Bacall, number 75, Charles Kuralt, number 34, Mark Knopfler, number 36, Graydon Carter, number 22, John Dos Pesos, number 11, Willa Cather, number 5, and Patricia Highsmith, numbers 1 through 7, an enlarged version of number 5, which itself was demolished during the construction of extensions to the IRT subway line in 1927. Even Sid Vicious, best known as the bassist of the Sex Pistols, who didn't actually live on Bank Street, died of a drug overdose at the tender age of 21 on Bank Street in 1979, number 63. And this doesn't begin to touch the famous residents who inhabited Westbeth itself, which was a complex of 13 buildings for artistic and residential use, originally part of the Bell Laboratories building from 1898 to 1966, one of the world's most important industrial research centers. Over the years, Westbeth was home to the pianist Greta Sultan, close friend to and interpreter of John Cage, the photographer Diane Arbus, who committed suicide at the age of 48 while living at Westbeth, and Robert De Niro's father, an abstract expressionist painter, Robert De Niro Sr., who was featured in an HBO documentary, Remembering the Artist Robert De Niro Sr., completed and aired not long after Merce Cunningham's death in 2009. Merce would have enjoyed seeing this. And it should be noted that on October 25th, 2011, the entire Westbeth complex was designated a landmark building by the New York City Landmarks Preservation Commission. As to Cage's involvement with the Beatles' music, we began tonight's program with his little-known work entitled The Beatles, 1962 to 1970, as it appears on the EMI Angel CD of 1990, performed by Aki Takahashi. Aki was born in Kamakura, Japan, and attended the Tokyo University of Fine Arts and Music. Her debut recital took place in 1970, and her first European appearances were for the Berlin Festwochen and the Festival d'Automne in Paris in 1972. Aki was artist in residence at the State University of New York at Buffalo in 1980-81 and visiting professor at CalArts in Valencia, California in 1984. She has given concerts throughout America and Europe, specializing in avant-garde repertory from the music of Erik Satie to the present. She is well known for her John Cage performances and recordings, as well as for her many performances and recordings of works by Morton Feldman, both of whom adored her. As Cage wrote in his performance notes, this piece is scored for 6 piano parts, which are to be in some manner superimposed, materials consisting of melodies and accompaniments in 7 flexible time brackets and 1 that is fixed. Fragments of various lengths have been derived via chance operations from an arrangement of Beatles songs. Tempo is left to the performers, and octave transpositions are permitted. This work was composed for a project initiated by Takahashi, who asked composers she admired to write pieces for her in some manner related to a Beatles tune. Her resulting collection was released on a 4-CD set on the Toshiba EMI label in Japan. Cage's piece is also included on the single CD volumes entitled Hyper Beatles and Hyper Beatles Best. Aki's 1990 Hyper Beatles CD, an EMI release, number CDC7541552, from which Aki's recording of Cage's work for tonight's program comes, includes arrangements of songs by the Beatles by many well-known composers, both American and Japanese, including Rafael Mostel, Haruna Miyake, Alvin Karen, Kentaro Haneda, John Cage, Barbara Monk Feldman, Yoriaki Matsudaira, Carl Stone, Akira Inouye, Peter Garland, and Frederick Jevsky. Aki's realization of Cage's piece involves all 6 piano parts, with 1 played live by her against the others also recorded by her on tape. Another realization we'll listen to momentarily is by Frank Corliss and Sung-hai Lee, both playing live with taped renditions of the other piano parts pre-recorded on tape by Liang Yu Wang, Christina Lalog, and Michael Buckman, all musicians active within the Bard Conservatory of Music. This performance was captured at our John Cage at Bard College Symposium, which took place in 2009. Cage's arrangement is somewhat unique in the collection in that he changed nothing in the Beatles songs and did not restrict himself to a single song. Rather, he subjected 27 songs as they appeared in a 2-volume anthology of arrangements of songs by the Beatles to chance operations and wound up, as Mark Swed put it in his liner notes for Takahashi's EMI Angel recording, with snippets from them all to be played by 6 pianos simultaneously. The result is an 8-minute Beatles celebration with distinguishable Beatles phrases tossed about in rich, serendipitous counterpoint, leaving listeners free to make their own personal Beatles associations. Most of the Beatles songs heard in the arrangements contained on this EMI Angel CD were written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Here, There, and Everywhere, Blackbird, Norwegian Wood, Yesterday, When I'm 64, Michelle, And I Love Her, She Said, She Said, The Fool on the Hill, You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, and Give Peace a Chance, while 2 were written by George Harrison, Here Comes the Sun and Something. I might also note, as Swed does, that several of the composers haven't made simple arrangements of songs, but rather have composed short new works that were inspired by the originals, reflecting something of what the songs have meant to them. What I haven't touched upon in tonight's program is the so-called Carnival of Light track, a 14-minute improvisation recorded by the Beatles in 1967 at the prompting of McCartney, who's described it as being, quote, a jumble of shrieks and psychedelic effects, close quote, as far from the melodic ballads that made Sir Paul McCartney famous as it is possible to imagine. So said Vanessa Thorpe, arts and media correspondent for The Observer, in her piece on the subject in the Saturday, November 15, 2008 issue. The track was played publicly once at the Million Volt Light and Sound Rave, also known as the Festival of Light, at the Roundhouse in North London in January of 1967. An event organized by Binder, Edwards, and Vaughan, who also commissioned the music, but it was never released because three of the Fab Four thought it was an oddity, too weird and too adventurous. As Thorpe described it, McCartney had asked the band to simply wander around all the stuff and bang it, shout, play it. It doesn't need to make any sense. Hit a drum, wander to the piano, hit a few notes, and then we put a bit of echo on it. It's very free. The audience apparently had no idea that they were listening to a new Beatles track, which also featured the sound of gargled water and strangled shouts from Lennon, which vie with church organs and distorted guitar. McCartney was surely inclined toward the experimental. In 1993, he formed the Firemen with the producer known as Youth, aka Martin Glover, a two-man recording project experimental music duo whose catalog ranges from rock to electronica that's evolved over nearly three decades and three albums. The group's members' names remained officially anonymous until 2008 with the release of their third album, Electric Arguments, although their names had been known to many since soon after the release of their first album, Strawberries, Oceans, Ships, Forest, in 1993. McCartney confirmed the Carnival of Light track's existence in a BBC Radio 4 arts program broadcast, saying that the public will soon have the opportunity to judge for themselves. McCartney told John Wilson, presenter of The Front Row, that he still had the master tape of the work, which he described as the Beatles free, going off pist, an English expression meaning skiing off of prepared ski runs. The track, he said, was put together on January 5, 1967, in between working on the vocals for the song Penny Lane in the Abbey Road Studios. I bring this up here within the context of this program because while Cage personally had nothing to do with the track's creation, indeed was certainly oblivious to its existence, McCartney is on record as saying it was inspired by the works of composers John Cage and Karlheinz Stockhausen, and that its release will finally affirm his claim to have been the most musically adventurous of all of the Beatles. The track was almost made public in 1996 when it was considered for inclusion in the exhaustive Beatles anthology compilation when everyone was listening to everything the Beatles had recorded for possible inclusion. According to McCartney, that possibility was vetoed by everyone but him, especially George Harrison, who disparaged sonic experimentation as avant-garde a clue. I've heard nothing about this since first stumbling upon it over a decade ago, but if anyone else has, please let me know. I'll report again if more is learned. In the meantime, let's close now with a reprise of Cage's The Beatles 1962 to 1970, here as it was performed at Bard College in 2009. And stay tuned at the end of this rendition for a couple of bonus tracks from Aki's beautiful CD. Thank you. As we've a bit of time remaining, and this CD will be unknown to many of you, not to mention that I'm a huge fan of the Beatles and of Aki Takahashi, let's listen now to a few randomly selected tracks from her beautiful Hyper Beatles CD. Not by John Cage, but by five other of Aki's favorite composers. The following five selections will now be heard, selected by chance, as I said, and heard in the following order. Short Fantasy on Give Peace a Chance, arranged by Frederick Jevsky, an American composer and amazing pianist, born in 1938 and recently deceased. Michelle, arranged by Barbara Monk Feldman, a Canadian composer of mostly chamber and piano works, widow of the celebrated American composer Morton Feldman, born in 1953. She Said, She Said, arranged by Carl Stone, an American composer primarily active early on in the field of live electronic music, making inventive use of his laptop computer in performance, also born in 1953. Something, arranged by Kentaro Haneda, a Japanese composer, pianist, and arranger, familiarly known as Haneken, born in 1949. He died in 2007. And lastly, When I'm 64, arranged by Alvin Curran, an American composer, performer, improviser, sound artist, and writer, co-founder with Frederick Jevsky and Richard Teitelbaum of Musica Electronica Viva, born in 1938 and long resident in Rome. I'll leave a bit of extra time between tracks to clearly differentiate them, but I suspect you'll be able to tell which is which by their titles and their melodies, even if elaborated or layered. Enjoy. Thank you.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.